that as we had worship here this morning, and it was really good. The Lord was moving. And I want to just say this, that, you know, if you kind of feel like worship is too long and, you know, whatever else, you're not going to like heaven. So, you know, and you know, once in a while, not very often, most people really enjoy it because they get into the presence of the Lord and let God do it. But you always got a few that, well, you know, it's too long and you do too many songs and this and that. And you know, then they try to think, well, you're the problem because you're doing too much. And on the contrary, you're the problem. You're not doing enough. You know, you understand? I mean, you know, God wants it all. And heaven is going to be nothing but a place of worship and rejoicing and in the presence of the Lord. And I don't know about you. I'm gonna start enjoying what the Lord's doing right here, right now. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the time and the opportunity. God, we pray that just as the songs would say, that you would have your way. And God, we know that as we sang these songs and even as we prayed and sought a word from you, God, that it is the word for today. And so, Lord, we just pray that, God, our hearts would be open, Lord, your spirit would move. God, we pray for anybody that's just discouraged, God, that you would encourage them. And also, God, that you would help us just to put one foot in front of the other, that we would walk in the way, God, that you called us to walk. And Father, we love you. We're asking for your help and your anointing of your Holy Spirit. Lord, let your words set us free. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Corey was asking, he didn't get a chance to put it online, but he said, what's going to be the topic of your message? What's the title? And normally, you know, Harley, he don't do too many titles, but, you know, as I was typing this thing out, I did put a little title on there. And you know what it really is taking a good look inside our desires. God wants us to take a good look at ourselves. You know, I mean, the Word of God is like a mirror, and we need to use it for what it is because we can begin to understand a lot of things as we do. And, you know, Seth, he likes to use a lot of analogies, whatever. And, you know, this year as we got ready to go fishing and do opening fishing, you know, I got a couple of boats anyway, at least a couple. And, you know, I got a new motor on one. I only bought it, you know, just only 2 years old, nice motor. You know, put all the little things in there, new oil, did everything, and brought it out into the lake, started it up, and as I'm trucking across the lake, the thing starts sputtering. And I'm thinking, geez, you know. And I'm just trying, and I'm out there for hours trying to get this thing, and finally I figure, well, you know, something must be up, something must be water, something must have happened, I must have got, you know. And so, you know, what I finally did after putzing and putzing and putzing, I decided to open up the gas can and look inside. I took a little flashlight. And sure enough, there's a little spot of water and some dirt. And that's what causes it to sputter and not be able to open up full charge. You know, that's exactly, I mean, you know, if we don't look inside, we're never going to figure out why we're sputtering. Amen? I don't know about you. I don't want to sputter. I want to be able to rejoice. I want the goodness of God. I want the joy of the Lord. I want the power of God in my life, even if it means, Harley, look inside. Well, that's the hardest thing for me to do. You know what I'm saying? People can tell you all your little shortcomings, and boy, it ain't until you honestly look at it that you begin to realize that God is telling us to take a little different approach in our steps. And so I'm sure I'll get it all straightened out by the grace of God, a little bit better of a mechanic than Seth, but still not a good mechanic. Praise God. There you go, Seth. Seth was always one of those ones, you know, like I said, Corey, 4 years old, he would tend blocks, he would do everything, and we would start a project, and Corey, Troy, and Seth would show up, and 15 minutes later, Corey's the only one that was there. Troy and Seth were off playing. You know, they couldn't get serious. And then when it came time, Corey built his own house, sold it, and was able to buy another one and build another house. And then Seth and Troy would have to call Corey and Harley to come and help them with their roof because it's leaking. But they've learned in the process a lot more since then, praise God. But God wants us to look inside. And so, you know, when I think about looking at our desires really kind of tell us who we are, what we're pursuing, you know, what is important in our life. And so, you know, God wants us to look at that. And you know, he says he wants to take first place in everything. And that doesn't, you know, I mean, I've seen it time and time again that, you know, some really good men of God that, you know, they thought, you know, when they were young that if they would become a Christian that all the fun would be done and they would be this robot and nothing would. But on the contrary, you find the opposite. It doesn't become dull, it becomes full. It doesn't become joyless, it becomes joyful. And so as we begin to walk with God, he's the one that begins to feel the all in all. And that's what he's wanting us to do, is to be able to look into him and begin to, you know, and so I don't know, I have to understand who Harley is, and I have to understand who the enemy is and how these different things take place. But if you know, you look at your desires, what are you desiring? You know, today I won't give any names, but you know, I would look on Facebook. I like to, you know, Facebook isn't a great place, but If you look at it and people begin to post things, they're posting things that they're interested in. And so what happens is you know, when someone starts posting things like, you know, you need to get rid of anything that's negative in your life. You need to get rid of anybody that's negative in your life, that anybody, you know, and they go on to talk about all these things. You have to better yourself. You have to do this. You have to do that. And I'm just thinking, man, they lost it all, totally. They just totally lost it. And I'm really glad Jesus didn't do that, because I'm a has-been. I needed everything that he had, and I was nothing but negative, but he searched me out, and he found me. And suddenly, you know, I mean, you know, you're giving up on some of the people that might in your future be the biggest blessing you ever desired. As you begin to make yourself so important, you begin to lose things. And so God begins to, I don't know about you, begins to show us that some of these things we're desiring isn't for self-benefit. It's not going to benefit ourselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1. Well, didn't get there. It says, pursue love, and we all know God is love. And we need to pursue that with all our strength and hope. But it says, yet, what? Desire earnestly spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. You know, I don't know about you, but you know, a lot of times in our life we're pursuing and desiring everything you can think of, and spiritual giftings and the moving of the Holy Spirit sometimes doesn't even come into effect. It doesn't even become, it's not one of our greatest desires. And yet he's, you know, this is what the Bible is saying, desire spiritual gifts. So, you know, what do you do with the gifts, man? You give it away. And you really what ends up happening is the measure you measure out, it gets measured back to you, pressed down, running over. And people forget what the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ really is. And so, you know, I don't know, I find that a lot of times I do pursue a lot of things, and my desires, you know, are not always looking for spiritual giftings and all these things. Sometimes I'm looking for a way out and not a way in. A way into Christ, not a way out of some of the things that I'm in. And you know, I look at Psalms chapter 37. And I want to read just three verses there. I think just 3, 4, and 5. It says this: trust in the Lord and what? What does and mean? That's kind of an additive, isn't it? And do good. You know, I mean, now all of a sudden, I mean, I tell people all the time, you got to trust God. And not only trust God, now there's a little additive in there, and do good. In other words, there's got to be something that begins to take place. You got to begin to desire to do good. You don't just trust God, you do good. And it says, dwell in the land and what? And what? Cultivate faithfulness. That sounds like a bunch of work. But what happens with work? Benefits. Harvest. You understand? All these things begin to take place. And, you know, a lot of people wonder, well, why is everything always going wrong? Well, sometimes we're just not taking the right approach to God. And I mean, it isn't, you know, the Bible very clearly says bad things happen to good people. But yet it says, you see, and so it doesn't always just stay bad. Sometimes in people's lives, sometimes everything just kind of keeps going the same way. It keeps going bad. And so what God is trying to encourage us in our lives is to begin to cultivate some things, begin to change some desires, begin to seek after some things. It says in verse 4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord. And here's another good and he will give you the desires of your heart. So, you know, I don't know about you, when you talk about the Lord and putting God first, it's a very important thing, because then he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, if your desires are just for you, well, Harley, he's pretty shallow, you know? I mean, really, I've always been kind of a little simple, you know? I mean, I've been the kind of a guy that, you know, you got to make it really clear to me, and once it's clear, I can do it. Once I understand, I got a hold of it, but sometimes it takes a little more to get me to understand. And so God wants to, again, clarify these things in a way where it becomes our life. Verse 5, it says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will do it. Now see, I don't know about you, it's a whole lot easier when he does it. In our life, we've had a lot of things that we've tried to do, and it's been really hard, and then finally when you give it over to God, he does it. And then sometimes God is telling you to do something just a little bit different, or change a little bit of your timing, or change a little something in your life, and then God begins to show us some good blessings. You know, we've been doing a lot of studying about trees and plantings. God wants us to understand some good things and who we are and what we are. And you know, he wants to use some figures there that begin to cause us to understand what life really is all about. We want to talk a little bit about the river of God, about the trees and the plantings. But in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verses 7 and 8, it says this. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. There is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way. I mean, you know, there's no other way that we can go. There's no other way that you're going to accomplish what you want to accomplish. There's no other way that you can make a relationship or find a wife or a man or whatever it is. You understand? That's plain view. You know, I mean, man, my sister, I've told that story many times, but she, you know, her husband left her when with three little kids. And she got to the point through the years, it was so hard for her. She's in my face, I want a man. I want a man. And I'm looking at her like, whoa, wow. She's freaking me out. And really, you know, I'm thinking, boy, I don't know too many men that don't have a lot of baggage, right? 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 But we can get by with some of that, you know, because there's a lot of good things. And as we learn to walk with God, it gets better. But, you know, here she is, you know, and so, you know, we think about trust in the Lord, and he is the one that we need to begin to realize. And it says, for he will be, you know, the one who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord, who's first, for he will be like a tree. Now, it's given an analogy here, like a tree, okay? So we got to get the picture by the water. God wants to make us understand that our life, if we'll do what God is talking about in this here, like a tree by the water that extends its roots by the stream and will not fear, when the heat comes and its leaves will be green, not dry and brittle, and it will not be anxious. Wow. What is one of the biggest enemies of today? Anxiety. It's just nothing but a lie from the devil. It is a lie from the devil. And as we begin to learn to trust God, we can do anything. We can be bold, just like that little girl back there. Man, I'm going to let her preach sometime. Wow. I like that. Anybody that go up there smart enough to warn their dad that, you know, something's coming. I just did what God told me to do. Praise God. I'd tell you what, I'd give everything to people that would be more like that than anything else. God wants to be like that. He wants us to be bold as a lion. You know, when it comes from a little girl, you know, man, that's power. Look out. She might not be able to give you a broken nose, but whoo, I want to tell you, she just gave you a truth right between the eyes. You know, and that's what the society of this day needs more than anything. Needs people that'll stand for the Lord, put God first in everything. And you know, it's so good. He will be green, the leaves will be greens, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. Okay, now God wants us to understand a tree, its leaves, its roots, the waters, and fruit. There's a lot of things involved. When God begins to speak some things in His Word, it is good. It is really good. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, it says this: the fruit of righteousness. We all know what righteousness is, don't we? I mean, we got a pretty good idea. Hope so. The fruit of righteousness is. Now, when you say is, it is. It's not something different. It is what it says it is. Now, if you take it for that, what it just says, it says, for the fruit of righteousness is the tree of life. Boy, that hit me. Harley, if you want life, you better find a little more righteousness coming up in your life. You better start pursuing things. You better begin to learn to look into the desires of your life so that you can be righteous before the Lord. And this is what life is. I'm thinking, wow, this is cool. This isn't just some tree that's some little story that's fabricated. This is something that God wants to get us down there. And then it goes on to say, and he who wins souls is wise. You know, righteousness is something that God is looking, and that's something exactly what the enemy is trying to take away from this day. What he's trying to take it away from the church. He's trying to take it away from every part of society. There is nowhere you can go in the world today that the craziness is not being accepted except in Christ. And so it's important that we begin to realize that God wants it. You know, he wants us to have this, the fruit of righteousness is the tree of life. So there's this fruit in righteousness, okay? And we, you know, it's something that God wants us to begin to desire. Now, I don't know about you. You know, it talks about he who wins souls is wise, and I think the Lord wants us to do a little bit more in those lines even this summer. Get a little more fired up, a little less concerned about Harley and a little more concerned about God and society. But I kind of begin to get to a place where, do you want your life, Harley, to make a difference? Do you want to make a difference? Or do you just want to coast out the rest of your time because you're old? Amen. You know, and yeah, I don't know about you. Do you want to make a difference? Do you realize that your life can be a source of a blessing to many? Who am I talking to? Every single one of us. Our life can be a blessing to many. I'm thinking about this, and I'm just thinking, God, you know, that's exactly what you want us to do. You want us to win souls. You want us to help people. You know, just like Kurt here, he's been, you know, Rocky gets a hold of him, encourages him a little bit. His life begins to get touched. God starts moving. He starts feeling the presence of God. God starts sending other people from who knows where, because God owns all things, and starts giving little words. And all of it is a progression to make a difference and to help people in their life get better. And that's what, you know, that's what it's all about. That's called righteousness. It's like a fruit. God wants this righteousness, and that brings life. It brings life to our mortal bodies. It begins to give us purpose, begins to do a lot of different things. Now, we know that the Bible says this. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, what? Will be added to you. So I don't know about you. You can seek the things and not really get them, or you can seek God, and God, you know, if you can keep things in the right place, God can give you a lot of different things. And so, you know, when you think about it, it's exactly opposite of understanding. You know, well, if you seek God and obey God, this is how you're going to get. Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, what about you? Well, you, if you will die and get lost in the Lord, you're going to have things that you just never even thought of, that your imagination could hardly even think of. God wants your life to be something that's so much greater than what you could ever imagine or purpose. And so, you know, we want to go on. And, you know, we know that when you read these things like this, it kind of hit me as I was reading these different things about this fruit of righteousness and all these here things. And you know, the Bible says it very clearly, you shall be known by what? Your fruit. Fruit's important. God wants us to be like a tree, a planting by the Lord, you know? Something that God planted, something that growing of God. And he begins to give these analogies in there. And so in Matthew, Matthew 17, and Matthew 7 and verse 17, we'll start there real quick. It says, so every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. Now, you ever know any Christian that kind of puts out a little bad fruit? Shh. Yes, we all do. Sometimes we are that one. You know what I'm saying? But God says a good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. Okay? And so, I don't know about you, I want God to be able to get inside a Harley just a little bit, show him the bad and the good. And it says, a good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Now, this isn't Harley talking. This is the Bible, the Word of God, that does not come back void. And so, you know, it says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is what? Cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. That's verse 20. I mean, we can go on and say, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of God. Didn't we not prophesy? Didn't we not play church? Did we not do this? Did we not do that? So it's much more than playing church. It's being a good tree with the fruits of righteousness. You know, I mean, what made her rip up those things on the wall? Righteousness. Righteousness rose in and it drove her to do something that she knew she was going to have consequences for. But with God, you just got a promotion. You understand? I mean, well, it doesn't come in the natural, but God has these things for us. And so, you know, I don't know about you, when you look into our desires, a good tree produces good fruit. See, we gotta get right to the place of desire so that we can learn what righteousness is and how to get them roots down into where God wants and begin to get the important things that God talks about. Now, I realize that, you know, when we say this, that in other words, they'll know them by their fruit. We are supposed to produce what? Fruit. Self-examination. How much fruit have I been bearing, God? You know, sometimes I had a church that, you know, got really mad at me one time because I testified about a testimony. A friend of mine was telling me a testimony about at work. He finally got this guy, and he prayed with him, and the guy is a Christian, and you know, it's this big thing that he finally got to be able to speak to somebody at church, and he was a Christian. They prayed, and God did a miracle. And it was this big thing. And then all of a sudden, as he's, you know, I'm rejoicing, happy, you know, praise God. And then I asked him, how long have you been working with this guy? 8 years. And that's the first time you talked to him about God? That's sad. Man, that guy might have been able to skip all that sickness if you'd have talked to him before. You know what I'm saying? God caused us to be a blessing. And he caused us to bear fruit, not to hide, not to never say anything, not to be this little willowing wimp. But God says, with the power of God, to be bold as a lion. I don't know that. Sometimes we need to get to some of these things. Sometimes fear keeps us from being bold. Sometimes everything. But God can cause us to overcome in all these things. And so he wants us to produce fruit, no doubt in my mind. God has chosen each and every one of us to be a tree of righteousness and to bear fruit. And that's how we are supposed to be known, by our fruit, not by our big mouth. Sorry, Lord. That might have been a gift, I don't know, but not always. You know, sometimes you put your foot in that big mouth. But, you know, God wants us to produce this fruit. And then one of the things, not only does he want us to produce fruit, but I want to quickly just say one scripture to you. In John 15 and 16, it says this. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Who's you? I think you is everyone in this place. And he's appointed us to go out and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Whatever you ask in my name, that I'll give you. But, you know, one of the things that I realize that, you know, sometimes we do things so quickly and so, you know, so it's like we're just scratching the surface, not doing the things we really need to do, that you know, the fruit that we're trying to get fruit, but it's not happening. That's because we do so little to make the fruit become ripe. We do so little to maybe water it and maybe take care of it, to do a little something to make the fruit. But God's desire is that we not only we bear fruit, but the fruit remains. And the fruit, you know, it says faithful people that are able to teach others also. It talks about some of these things that goes beyond the little scraping. You know, and so what I gotta, you know, what happens is Harley, is that your desire? And sometimes it isn't. It's not my desire to spend all that time. I got things to do, places to go. You know, and yet God says, if I'll put him first in everything, this is the way my life is going to be fulfilled. It just doesn't make sense to Harley. And then all of a sudden I hear the words, well, Harley's supposed to be dead. You don't have to make sense to Harley. To God be the glory. To God I trust. And he will do it. I don't know about you, but that kind of leaves me out. I mean, just, you know, God wants to do a lot of things. And so he calls us to be this kind of tree. Let's go on. You know, in Proverbs there, it talks about this, you know, when we talk about the fruit of righteousness is the tree of life. And when we talk about, I want to read quickly in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. And we all know this one, and that one, it's very good. But it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and we all know it's love, and it's joy, and it's peace, and it's patience, and it's kindness, and it's goodness, and it's faithfulness, and it's gentleness, and it's self-control. Against such things there is no law. So God wants us to have this fruit of the Spirit. Well, I don't know about you. When you irritate me, I don't feel like being a good fruit. You know what I mean? When you say things that I don't like or really fits with my theology, suddenly the goodness and the kindness and the love just kind of goes away. And I'm just, well, you know who, you know, so-and-so, you know. And suddenly I find myself being someone that God does not want me to be or to talk. He wants me just to shut my mouth and go back and just get a hold of something that God is able to do all things. In other words, how many know that God can change our enemies? He can make a friend even a better friend. And so the fruit of the Spirit is something that the Bible talks about. Fruit is something that the Bible really wants us to have. And these are the kinds of fruits that he wants. And, you know, I'm gonna quickly read this. And, Rocky, you don't have it, but I want to turn to Proverbs. And, you know, because as I was reading in Proverbs, this kind of hit me. As I read a little bit in the old and the new, but in Proverbs chapter 11, and if you look at a couple of these verses, like in verse 8, it says, the righteous is delivered from trouble, but the wicked takes his place. I see, you know, as I'm reading that, I begin to realize that, you know, that the righteous have peace. The Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. They have peace, and God delivers them. You know, you think about God had the fruits of the Spirit. As I was reading Proverbs 11, I seen the fruit of the Spirit of God just in this Proverbs. You go over to verse 10, and it says, when it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there is joyful shouting. But, you know, it says that a city will rejoice when it's well with the righteous. I have spread more bad words about Duluth and its mayor and its whatever else than anybody probably in the place. But the city would rejoice if the righteous would do well. You know, I'm thinking, you know, you talk about this. This is joy. You know, what's the fruit of the Spirit? Joy. And when the righteous got it, I tell you what, it just begins to happen. You look at verse 16 in that same one, and it says, "A gracious woman attends honor, and a ruthless man attends riches." But you know, you got someone that suddenly you begin to realize that kindness, a gracious woman, gets these things. It's called kindness. It's the same fruit of the Spirit. When they have kindness, they get these things. You know, we had a woman that her husband, she hated her husband. She was going to divorce him and all these here kinds of things. And you know, she says, I've been trying to get him to church for years. And she's just going off, and she can't stand this guy, and she wants to justify a divorce, okay? And I mean, I'm not against anybody here of anything like this. But before you do anything like that, see if you can't get a hold of God and straighten something out. God can put in love. He can do all these things that you never imagined. And so all of a sudden, you know, she says, you know, that, the Lord just spoke to me. She said, I said, he won't listen, he won't do this, and he won't let me, he don't want me to come to meetings, and he don't want this, and he don't want that. And so all of a sudden, I said, well, sister, God just showed me something. I said, you're the kind of guy that, you know, when he walks in the door, and he's a little bit loaded, you are, yeah, 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 yeah. Okay? That's what you do every time. And I understand he is a jerk. He's a dog. He's working like a dog, he barks like a dog, he lives like a dog, he is a dog. Doesn't mean that God can't make him a good dog. And so all of a sudden, I said, and you're the kind of person that I think, you know, you want to go to these Bible things and you want to do this. And so, you know, he has his chair, he sits there. And so what you do is you lay your Bible wide open and you underline all these things. No drunkard, fornicator, adulterer can enter the kingdom of God. You want him to see all these things. And so he sits down and he just gets angry. You know, and then I said, if you'll start to love him, God can make a difference. If he'll come in staggering and you'll say, "Here, sit down. Can I get you something to eat?" I'll tell you, that would be the hardest thing to do. You'd have to grit your teeth to do it, to even say it. But all of a sudden, this woman, she got really mad at me. She pretty much told me where to go. But then she came back because she did it. And she came back with him. And he started coming to church. And he got saved. And he got sanctified. He got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he became one of the best friends. And they got a new house. And they got this. And they got that. I tell you, she's going to throw him in the garbage. But what she had to do is throw her desires in the garbage and learn to get a hold of the love of God. And you can do all things. That's what the song said, right? I can do all things. Boy, it takes Christ, because I don't want to do those things. It takes Christ to show me my desires, because that ain't even in me. And God wants to get these things in. And so I don't know about you, but winning is how we do. It's the fruit of the Spirit. We can go on. It talks about in verse 17, a merciful man does himself good, but the cruel man does himself harm. So in other words, we find the merciful man has kindness and he has goodness, and that's the fruit of the Spirit. And these things happen to that kind of a man. You know, it was way back when that God began to show some of these things. He began to talk to us about some of these things. And, you know, we can get into that same chapter. It's kind of funny because I was reading that verse number 2, and it says, when the pride comes, then comes dishonor. And, you know, one of the things that I begin to realize is that, you know, pride is not gentleness. It's not humility. It's pride. And one of the things that the Bible talks about, you know, is gentleness. And that verse 12, it goes on to talk about self-control. So I find the fruit of the Spirit was there way back in the Old Testament. It isn't something that just showed up in Galatians. It's something that was part of the kingdom of God. It was something that was part of trees of righteousness and how God meant us to bear fruit. And so, you know, in John 8, in verse 12, it says this. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." God wants us to walk in the light as he is in the light. And I believe this, Harley, the more Harley walks in the light, the more benefits of God Harley begins to have in his life. And so he's called us to do. He says, "I am the light of the world. Walk in the light." You want to see the benefits of God. You want to see God do things. Walk in the light. Well, I want to tell you, you know, if my eyes are dark, or if I walk in darkness, or if I allow darkness to just keep my opinions. You know, you ever meet somebody? Well, you met me. That's opinionated. Wow, you know. You can't change their mind. They're opinionated. And, you know, it's kind of amazing how, you know, the Lord, he wants us to be able to change. And so we go on. I want to go on just that tree of life, that image of that tree of life. You know, I began to seek the Lord a little bit more, do a little more praying, and I Googled a couple more little thoughts in my mind, and it gave me a couple more little scriptures that I could kind of look at. But you know, this tree of life, it actually comes up many different times in the scriptures. It talks about this tree and this tree of life. It comes up, it reoccurs many times. And so when it does that, sometimes I think that, you know, what it's trying to show me is there's a link between this tree and what I'm trying to talk to you about and the working and the moving of the Holy Spirit in your life, Harley. There's something here that I want you to understand fully, and if you can begin to get this, the more you get it, the better it is. The more green you're going to be, the less worries you're going to have, and God is going to be able to do all things. And so in Ezekiel 47, I want to read these verses 1 through 12 to you rather quickly, but it just says this. Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from underneath the threshold of the house. towards the east. For the house faced the east, and the water was flowing down from under the right side of the house from the south of what? The altar. House of God, the temple. He brought me out by the way of the north, the gate. We understand there's a north gate, south gate, east gate. We see these things. And he led me round the outside to the outer gate by way of the gate that faces the east. And behold, the water was trickling from the south side. When the men went out towards the east with a line in hand and measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water, and the water reached ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and the water reached knees. Again, he measured 1,000, led me through the water, and water reached the loins. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not forge, for the water had risen enough water to swim in. A river that could not be forged. I want to tell you, this is the river of God. This is the river of God. And God wants us to understand this river and the presence of God and the flowing of God and how that river is actually even in us. And it's part of what happens, and we want to live in it. We want to go where the water goes. We don't want to swim against it. And he said to me, "Son of man, you have seen this." Then he brought me back to the bank of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, the bank of the river, there was were many trees, and on one side and on the other, many trees. Now we're back into trees. And he said to me, "These waters go out towards the east region and go down towards the Araba, and they go towards the sea, being made to flow into the sea, and the waters in the sea become fresh." See, where this river is flowing, what does it become? Fresh. I'll tell you what, God, you are the only one that knows how to do it. "It will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will" what? "Live." What kind of creature you want to be? "And there will be many fish, for these waters go there, and others become," or it says, "where the rivers go will live, and there will be many fish. For these waters go there, and the others become fresh, so everything will live where the river goes." You want to go where you want to go, or you want to go where God's going, where the river's going, see? I mean, if you want to live, you understand, I mean, Jesus said, "I am the way," and he talks about this river, and he talks about what this river has and how these trees, you know, how we're supposed to be this planting of the Lord, how we're to bear fruit, and that this fruit is something really special, that this really begins to bring some really good things. And it says, "And it will come about that fishermen will stand beside it," and I'm not going to try to pronounce those two names, "and there will be a place for the spreading of nets. Their fish will be according to their kind." You know, there's every kind of person in this place right now. You know what I mean? I mean, you got people that never got in trouble, and you got people that lived in trouble. You know what I mean? And so, you know, there'll be fish of every kind, like the fish of the great sea, very many. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. So I want to tell you something. If you're going to live in the little marshes and the little sidetracks, they're not going to be fresh. Your life is not going to be fresh if you're not living where the river is and where it's flowing, where it becomes fresh. If you're not living in the fresh, you're not fresh. "By the river on its banks," verse 12, "on one side and on the other." Man, I had a dream about this, and I had to talk with a friend many years ago. "Will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear every month because their waters flow from the sanctuary." I want to tell you, the fellowship of God is important to believers. You can go on. There is a river, and it does flow. Part of the sanctuary. It's not everything, but it is a good thing. And it says, "And their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing, boundaries and divisions of the land." Boundaries are made that you don't cross, like she was trying to say. No, don't cross that boundary. You understand? It's kind of cool when you look at some of these things. I'll read one more quick one there in Revelations. Revelations 22 and verses 1 and 2, because it goes from one end to the other. It says, "And then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and its leaves and its trees were for the healing of the nations." Jesus is going to come and do some precious, precious things. I believe in the day that we live in, God wants us to begin to understand. I don't know, Rocky, you can put up Proverbs 12 and 2, but, you know, the Spirit of God enables us to help and to live this way. It's only the Spirit of God that can help us live in a righteous manner. And he talks about it here that, you know, the righteous life, it begins to describe how the righteous life gets favor from the Lord. You see, a good man will obtain favor from the Lord. Righteousness, being good, being God, you get favor from the Lord. Then I will do it, God says. You understand? I mean, we can put pressure on it just like that lady did, or we can let God do it. God is able to change even the depth things in a person's heart. And you know, when Harley gets in the way and Harley pushes too hard, what he ends up doing is pushing people away. I remember I had a friend a long time back that he wanted me to go to church, and I wanted me to go to his church, and I went to his church, it was okay, but it was pretty dead. And you know, he was a good guy. He was a friend in the world and drugging, and he was saved. He was born again. He changed his life. He stopped drugs. He stopped these things. He started going to church. And Harley, he just hammered him. "Oh, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You got to speak in tongues." And the guy didn't want that now. And every time I seen him, I kept digging on him about speaking in tongues. And pretty soon he didn't want to be in Harley's presence anymore. You know, and one time God just told me, he said, "If I want him to speak in tongues, he won't be able to speak in English. Stop it, Harley." You know, it's a gift. And I realized that, you know, I mean, you know, you want people to have the gifts of God because they're important. But when we find ourselves pushing too hard, it's us pushing people away. Let's let God have a little opportunity. Let's be like that tree that's by the water, and let's let God flow and do these things. I don't know. I come to the point as I was reading and studying and praying that, God, I want to be the planting of the Lord. I want to be planted by the river of God. And then I have to put in this where it flows. You know, we got all kinds of ideas. We've done all kinds of things through our life. Doesn't mean that that's the same things we do today. Where it flows. Who it flows with. You know, I can't pick who God sends here. I'd like to. But it wouldn't work. God sends people, and those people are the people that God wants to use and do and anoint and bless. And as they begin to seek the giftings of God, they begin to produce fruit. John 7 and 37. "He who believes in me, the scriptures say, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." You know, that verse 37 says, "Now on this last day, the great day of feast, Jesus stood and cried out, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink.'" And then he said that, "He who believes in me," the scripture said, "out of innermost being will flow rivers of living water." You know, if you're to look into your desires, Harley, sometimes I ain't that thirsty. Sometimes I ain't that hungry. Sometimes you might say, oh, we're singing too much because I can't get in. Something's going on in my life. I can't praise God. And so I begin to get contrary. You understand? And I want to be hungering and thirsting for God. You know, I've had a lot of people that, you know, they're coming to you and they are struggling. And then if you're to get down to it and you can't just say, well, have you been hungering and thirsting for God? Well, no, they've just been trying to get out of trouble. We gotta hunger and thirst for God. He's the one that gets us out of these things. He's the one that gets us into the blessings of life. He is the tree of life. We got to remember what righteousness is. Righteousness is the tree of life. So no matter how much we have an opinion, we don't want to produce bad fruit. And if our mouth is ready to do it, what does he say? You know, put a bit in its mouth. I had a horse. My brother gave me a horse, a stallion, Arabian stallion. And that thing wasn't broke. And so we broke it. And that was the funniest thing you ever want to see because the church came out. And Harley was riding on it and had a saddle in the saddle. He kicked that thing up over its head and the saddle was still stuck on there and my foot was stuck in the stirrup and he was dragging me all around the place. And everybody in the church was laughing. They thought it was funny. I thought, man. Got back up on that horse and that horse got to break that horse. Never had to put a bit in its mouth. That horse would just, it would be a good horse. And then suddenly we had these mares there. Oh, that horse got weird. And then they had to take the mares away because they're moving to a different place. And wow, man, that horse, you know, I thought, well, he's whinnying and they're whinnying and they're whinnying, he's whinnying. I'm going to get on this thing, ride to the back 40, and you guys can load up the horse and see him. So I jump on, just put a little rope on its halter there, no bit. Start riding to the back, and he's whinnying, and they're whinnying, and all of a sudden he won't do anything I want him to do. And he just starts trying to go back, and I just, so now he's full bore running. So I muscle him around, and the bushes are, you know, 20 feet tall. And I said, okay, keep running, buddy. Pull his head up and runs right into these bushes. Just plowing through these bushes. And they're winning and he's winning. And I said, okay, there's all these popple trees about 6-7 inches apart. Big trees. I said, you're going to keep running. I'm going to run you right. I pull his head up, his face up like this. He's running full bore into these popple trees. And as he hits these popple trees, Harley comes flying out and he hits one on his back. The horse runs back. Harley got to walk back. I grabbed the bit because he hadn't had a bit in his mouth. Put it in his mouth. I want to tell you, that thing did every little thing I wanted it to do. Didn't matter whether they were winning. Didn't matter. I didn't have to rip on it or anything. Just put it in its mouth. And that horse responded perfectly. You know, the Bible talks about being a bit. And Harley, wow, Harley might need it more than anybody in this place. I need that bit. And I need God to help me to be righteous at all times so that life can just flow. You know, wherever you are, that you can produce fruit. Amen? Make sense? God called us to make fruit. Amen? So we're not going to do nothing. That's being bad. That's bad fruit doing nothing. We're going to do something. We're going to look for what God has put around us, and we're going to start being that tree of life. We're going to start being that river that flows, and we're going to produce fruit, and it's called kindness and goodness and love and self-control. Oh, God, you had to say that. Yeah, but it's still good. Amen? So you're free to bear fruit in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. God, we thank you that as we hear a message like that, we know who's going to help us. It's not impossible. It's very possible. As we look inside and begin to change some of the desires of our heart, we begin to hunger and thirst, we shall be satisfied. And we thank you for that, God, that only you, only you, only your life, only your river can satisfy and bring life wherever it flows, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You have a good, wonderful day. Be blessed. If anybody needs prayer, please come forward. We have some prayer for you.